Narayana namaskritya narunchevam narutamam devim sarasati vyasam tutojayam udirayat nashta praiswa vadrisu nityam bhagavati sivaya bhavatu tamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, the text from Srimad Bhagavatam class is Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 15. Jugupsitam dhamma krite nu sasata svabhavaratasya mahan vyatikrama yadvakyatu dharma iti tarastito namanyati tasya Nirvaranam jana. Word for word. Jukupsitam, verily condemned. Dharmakrite, for the matter of religion. Anushasata, instruction. Svabhava raktasya, naturally inclined. Mahan, great. Vyatikrama, unreasonable. Yatvakyata, under whose instruction? Dharma, religion. Iti, it is thus. Itara, the people in general. Stita, fixed. Na, do not. Manyate, think. Tasya, of that. Nirvaranam, prohibition. Jana, they. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performances of fruitive activities as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literature is condemned herewith by Srila Narada. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination by practice to endeavor to lord it over material energy. They have no sense of the responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of illusory matter. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, going back home, to revolve in the circle of transmigration in a series of lives numbering 8,400,000 is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned soul. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation of the human being is to re-establish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such a diversion of the human energy results in a misguided civilization. Srila Vyasadeva is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata, etc., and his encouragement in sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement because the people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage. At a certain stage of human civilization when such material activities in the name of religion as sacrificing animals in the name of yagya were too much rampant, the Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was foreseen by Narada, and therefore he condemned such literatures. The flesh eaters will continue to perform animal sacrifice before some demigod or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literatures, such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, but gradually the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten, and the slaughterhouse becomes prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population. But it is so attained only by renunciation. The materialistic men do not care to listen to such injunctions. According to them, the so-called renounced order of life is meant for those who are unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporeal defects, or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. In histories like Mahabharata, of course, there are topics on transcendental subjects along with material topics. The Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics, and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topic, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relation with the Lord and thus surrender unto him without delay. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatables which are forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to partially what he should not at all take. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruity work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritual realization. But those who are in the devotional line should never be so advised. Om Agnati Viranjasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Umbritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovristam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparatikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sivadvaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyari Sitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurachase Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himavya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So we'll repeat the text, this time the English version only. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 15. Translation. The people in general are inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Hare Krishna. So this is Narada Muni instructing Vyasadeva to guru, disciple, shiksha instruction, spiritual instruction being given to Sri Vyasadeva. Sri Vyasadeva and Narada Muni both are Shaktivesh avatar, but Krishna plays roles in different ways to help us ultimately to learn what to do and what not to do. So in this case, Sri Vyasadeva has undertaken a very, very important role of supplying the Vedas for the benefit of mankind. The Vedas are your most, we'll talk about other religions, they might fight that too, so we'll say arguably, the most encyclopedic of spiritual science, of understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the creation. And the roles, and our roles, as servants of a servant of a servant, and Krishna's role, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, and the demigods, and so on. And so, Sri Vyasadeva wants to describe it in that way, thinking that all of the karma conduct of the creative activities all should be represented. After all, it is supposed to be encyclopedic. You're supposed to look at it, and it's supposed to tell you everything about everything. Yeah, that's right. I know I use an American expression. Everything about everything. Everything, all that you need to know about Krishna's activities, Krishna's creation, material and spiritual. But he starts on the material, and he spends so much effort on the material, and at the end, he's not satisfied. So then Narada Muni, the instructing spiritual master, comes to him and tells him, gives him instruction that look at what you've written. As it says in the translation, the people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy. People want to enjoy. The mistake we've made is we want to enjoy outside of Krishna's influence and Krishna's direction. And that's why we have been put in this material world, because Krishna. Now I remember Srila Prabhupada explaining this. The reporter asked, well, why are we in the material world? Why did God do that to us? Then Srila Prabhupada explained, we wanted to enjoy separately from him. He tried to stop us, but we were so determined that we thought we would get better control of life by being the decision makers ourselves. It's called lording it over material nature. Krishna says, I have a place for you if you want to do that. And that's how we wound up here in the material world. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, now we realize this is the place of suffering. We also realize that this is not our home. And thirdly, there's a way to get back home. And in Kali Yuga, the main activity, the Yuga Dharma, is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you don't mind, I'll tell you a little story that happened on Saturday. So I was given the service of being in the question and answer booth in the Bhakti Yatra for 1 hour, from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And Pancharatna Prabhu was the one before me, wonderful Papa disciple. And so a couple of, was 10 or so minutes before 2, I was to continue at 2 o'clock, so I went there. And he was in the middle of explaining things to a couple of young men. And at 2 o'clock, a little bit after 2, he was still in the middle of explaining. So then I introduced myself to him. Apparently, he did not know me, which is not surprising. Not everybody knows me. So then he said, okay, this particular gentleman will continue. I found out that those two were from two different religions. I asked their background. So one was Christian, the other one was Muslim. And so they were very, very much fixed up in their beliefs in Christianity and in Islam. Fortunately, by Christian's arrangement, I started off Christianity, and I also went into Islam before I became a devotee. So I'm, to some extent, familiar with their spiritual books, Holy Bible and Holy Quran. It became a very interesting topic, talk back and forth. And of course, what they were relating to was all on the material level because nobody knew anything above the heavenly planets, anything, they haven't heard anything about the spiritual world. But they were not ready to hear either. When that situation happens, they try to teach me. So then I just ask questions. And that situation, you ask questions, but you ask questions to get them to the point that, yes, we agree with what they're saying, but they only understand it up to a point. So Srila Prabhupada has given us transcendental information, which is the same thing Narada was trying to tell Vyasadeva. You got to give the transcendental. Only fruitive things that people want to enjoy. They know about heaven. They tell you, and I ask them, what happens in heaven? They gave me very, very superficial, things. Oh, there's going to be joy, and there's not going to be problems. But what do people do? That they weren't able to explain because it's not explained that well in their books. So sometimes we say, oh, we're devotees, and we do what we have to do, chant, hear. But hopefully hopefully we're aware how fortunate we are that this transcendental information, transcendence, the spiritual aspect, the deep spiritual topics that are discussed now, was through the mercy of Narada, who told Vyasadeva, you have to include that. Otherwise, you yourself wouldn't be happy, and he wasn't. Srila Prabhupada arrived in the United States to give us the same kind of mercy. Because many of us would have been just, the United States, their thing is how to enjoy. When I came here in the late 70s, how to enjoy was topmost. But a different way, it wasn't as electronic, as it is now, people with cell phones. There were no cell phones at the time. But people loved to go to parties and meet people, and sex life was like played up. Illicit sex life played up. That's the thing to do to enjoy, and drinking and so on. It was just mundane lifestyle. I came to graduate school at the time, and this is what people do. But somehow, even from a Christian background, we pray so much. Some of it is for material things, but we also very thankful to the Lord. That was very, very much drilled, and you have to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for many, many, many different things. Sense enjoyment. That's what people like to do. And this is being stressed here by Narada Muni. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy. I remember one conversation I had also with the Mataji. We spoke for 3 hours, literally. This is a private conversation. But it was describing how much I had heard at that time about the soul. This is in us, everybody, naturally inclined to enjoy. Why? Because the soul's nature is to be in the highest happiness. Satchit Ananda. Ananda is bliss. What's bliss without happiness? The very definition of bliss is happiness. And it's categorized as the highest happiness. In the dictionary, that's what it says. Bliss means, well, happiness is there, so bliss is the highest. So the soul's nature is enjoy. The only thing is, those who aren't aware of how to enjoy don't realize that this material world is not the place to get enjoyment, because suffering never allows you to get total enjoyment. Doesn't happen. In fact, all you can do is gratify your senses if you're just not going to be a spiritual person. All you can do is gratify your senses. And you call that enjoyment. But it doesn't last. And we want more. And there's sometimes suffering that attached to it. Pretty much all enjoyments like that. If you drink, I'm having a great time. And then the reactions start. You get drunk. You get uninhibited. Sometimes the skeletons in the closet come out. Things that you don't want to talk about, you wind up talking about it. in the name of I'm being uninhibited, I can say anything I want. Too much of it, you might vomit. The next day you get a hangover. And this is all for so-called enjoyment. So-called enjoyment. Illicit sex carries with it all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases. Now we know what it is. Now, birth, death, old age, and disease. So disease is there also in sex life. So where's the enjoyment? We say, oh, we're gratifying our senses. But at the back of our minds, we know we can get sick. We know we can get unwanted pregnancy. All of those things are there. So, Narada Muni, of course, this is all Krishna's arrangement, how he met Vyasadeva, and stressed. The important thing is that he stressed the importance of including the pastimes of Krishna, the absolute truth. So that helps us. The Srimad Bhagavatam is put in such a way to stress to us the importance of transcendental information. So, right at the beginning here in this canto 1, this conversation between, or instruction between, or given by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva is there so that devotees would also appreciate the importance of what we're involved in by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Yoga. Srila Prabhupada went through a lot. I've been asked to speak a little bit about his arrival in the United States. Srila Prabhupada went through a lot. Why did he go through that? First thing that we learn from Srila Prabhupada's activity. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, who became his Diksha Guru later on, initially instructed him to spread, him, Srila Prabhupada, to spread Krishna consciousness in the English language in the West. Srila Prabhupada at the time protested and said that India was trying to get independence from the British. Gandhi was very active in that way. But then, so basically he inquired, he's been given instruction by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, and in one sense he's inquiring by saying that, but how are people going to take to this teachings of Lord Chaitanya seriously when their attention is now focused on getting independence from the British? That really was the question. He put it that way. Well, you know, India is now more focused on getting independence from the British. Where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj also says, yes, this is going on, but the instructions, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya cannot wait. Politics, it will be there. Politicians will change, but the politics will still be there. And so, Abhay Babu, at that time, Srila Prabhupada, took that to heart, and after the instructions, and when he came out and saw that Indian-bodied people in police uniform, hired by the British, were also punishing, openly beating another Indian person. Then he realized, yes, what is important is the transcendental literature, transcendental information. It has to be taught and it shouldn't wait. And he also then believed not only in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj as a bona fide spiritual master, but also believed that the instruction that he gave had to be followed. He had to come to the West. The rest of it, the difficulty in trying to get out, even the family, and what happened to the his own wife, when he was trying to write Srimad Bhagavatam, and the manuscripts were sold to get tea, and he complained to his wife, and his wife says, well, I just like tea. And he says, well, tea is an intoxicant. His wife said, but you don't get drunk nobody gets drunk when you drink tea, but the caffeine is there in tea. So finally, Srila Prabhupada gave him a choice. You stop this and remain a husband, or you keep going the way you're going, and I'm going to take my spiritual requests and spiritual instructions given to me more seriously and move on. And of course, the second part was what happened. So he prepared himself in Vrindavan, and then through a lot of effort trying to get a ticket, he got a ticket on a cargo ship to Jaladuta. He even suffered seasickness. So one of the things that we can learn from Srila Prabhupada's effort to get here is determination. First, there's no question that he obeyed his spiritual master's instruction. Without obeying his instruction, he wouldn't have come. His spiritual master asked him to come, and he obeyed. But with the difficulty that was in, he still didn't give up. He was coming to spread Krishna consciousness in the West. That's full of impersonalism and voidism. It's part of his mantra now, Pranam Srila Prabhupada. So, it shows the importance of transcendental literature and how seriously we take it. This is our life, literally. Without it, we have no life. When the devotee understands that he or she has no life, then they really understand what they're involved in. Material things will never satisfy us. Some parts of it are necessary because we have this physical body. But to take Krishna consciousness seriously is a blessing that we give ourselves. To associate and learn from each other is also a way in which we can help and in that way bless each other. To hear Krishna consciousness is a blessing in itself. To apply it is even a greater blessing. And to have other people be convinced is even greater. Krishna says, the one that spreads this transcendental nature is dear to me, and nobody will be dearer than that kind of person. The whole idea is Krishna's own kindness and mercy. He wants the living entities who are in the material world to go back home and enjoy as servants the way it should be. The other day we were given an example. Sometimes people think, oh, you're going to be a servant. And servants, well, you know, the master gets it all, right? So Papa says, Krishna is the enjoyer. That position cannot change. We are the enjoyed. Krishna is predominator, and we are the predominated. So here in the material world, if you're being predominated, then you say, well, now, the person that's the predominant, my boss, that's the people that work, that I employ, these say to those who are supervising them. My boss. The word boss means that he can tell you stuff and you have to do. Or she can tell you things and you have to do. Now, the real boss is Krishna. He's the boss of all bosses. But he's also very benevolent. He's a source of mercy. So he's the best boss to have. So imagine you have the person that controls you, a very, very, very wealthy person, and you serve them. Say your job is, and we bring it to the material world, say a driver. You drive him around. Obviously, being a very rich person, he doesn't have a cheap car, a very, very expensive car. Well, let's just say a Rolls Royce. So in the morning, you told, all right, drive me, I have to go to a meeting. So then, yes, sir, you get behind the wheel of this wonderful, you know, by material standards, car. You drive him to work, or to the meeting, sorry. Come pick me up at 5 o'clock. All right. So you show up, 4:30, and wait till he's ready to come back, and you drive him back. Now, in the morning, when you drop him off, up to the afternoon, when you're supposed to return, you have the car. Would people think you're a driver? Of course not. They know you're driving the car, but people who drive cars, usually they own them too. So they'll see you in a very nice car. And the point we're making is, yes, we serve Krishna, servant of a servant, but what's provided in the spiritual world
It's wonderful. And so we serve in great happiness. That's why the soul is in bliss. Krishna has set up his abode that we can have wonderful enjoyment even though we are servants and he's a boss. So we should never ever envy the boss, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he has set up the spiritual world through the agency of Balaram. So every time, at all times, there's wonderful activities going on. And then we thought that would be at Krishna's level, and then now here we are in the material world. And what is it like? So much suffering. Some people are in illusion, thinking that they're enjoying. In fact, they are suffering. Everybody gets sick. That's enough suffering. Sickness alone. The old age too, the bones don't work well. That's also so many problems that it gives. So, Narada Muni is telling Vyasa that people are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. In the name of religion. So, the spiritual master condemns it and says it's unreasonable, and because you are being looked at as the one who would write such wonderful information, and they are guided under your instructions, they will accept the activity. They will do all sense gratification things in the name of religion. And we hardly care for prohibitions. Like those two men that I talked to in the afternoon on Saturday. So Papa in the purport, he says, human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination, because they've been practicing this, to endeavor to control the material energy. This is still going on. We call it the business. We want to do that. We want to do this. Now we want to do things electronically. And of course, the tendency to commit mistakes are still there. That's one of the four defects of a human. And so things go wrong. So Papa says, how can you make a perfect machine when you don't have perfect senses yourself? So all machines are limited by the fact that the person that manufactures a machine has limited ability, limited senses, imperfect senses. So you can't have a perfect machine. Not made by man. Nope. It doesn't work that way. It will break. And many of us maybe are beginning to get the understanding that the more sophisticated the machine is, the more consequential it is on our lives when it breaks down. Or even for a period of time just stops working. I remember one time I went to a place, and it was an attorney that I needed to describe a situation to involving an accident. And I was in their waiting room. He was talking to somebody else. So I had to wait for about 15 minutes. And while in the waiting room, I didn't have anything, of much importance to read. I had my own book. But I was waiting, all of a sudden I heard this sound, and I knew it came from the employees. Different tones of, oh! So the women said it high, the men said it low, but everybody said, oh! And I'm in the waiting room not knowing what had happened. But those whose offices were a little closer to me started complaining. Everything that I typed is gone. Everything I typed, and I knew they meant the computers. Well, did you save this? Did you? Well, in the beginning somewhere, but not now. Everybody was disappointed. What had happened? I noticed it too. There was a momentary break in the main electricity. There was just a flash. And electricity came back on. But that few seconds, that's a second actually. Split second, they lost a lot of material. Well, now, so here it is, so-called advanced lifestyle living, electronic lifestyle. You all had to start again, or wherever they, whatever machine, the information they lost, they had to do it over. Many people are disappointed. So this material world is not perfect. It never will be perfect. And so we are very fortunate this year, Prabhupada came with all the problems that he went through physically, still was determined even at the age he came in 69, to spread the spiritual master's, to take the spiritual master's command seriously and spread Krishna consciousness, because that's the only way this world can be saved. Krishna consciousness was not taken seriously in the West. Some people had come, they called themselves gurus, but they didn't spread information the way Srila Prabhupada did. They were after money. Srila Prabhupada gave his heart, which was his guru's heart, which was Lord Chaitanya's heart. The message of Lord Chaitanya, now the whole world has benefited from it. Srila Prabhupada, we owe him a huge, 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 huge gratitude. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, going back home. And that's why Narada Muni says you cannot, as Vyasadeva, leave only fruitive activity things in there. You do need to write and make as important, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, in the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the most important thing that we all have to abide by. He wrote it, and Srila Prabhupada helped to spread it, and now those of us, letters, and those who never would have taken spiritual life that seriously, we only knew about religion, and we knew we were going to go to heaven, and, you know, we didn't even understand that there was more than one heaven, as I had to tell this Christian, they thought there only one heaven, that Jesus taking them to one heavenly planet, and I had to use other things to explain to him, and later on he listened by Krishna's message. He even said a prayer for me after that, which was nice. Anyway, so, the human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation of a human being is to reestablish his lost relationship with God. So, Srila Prabhupada tells us, Sabai Punsam Paro Dharma Sto Bhaktiya Hoksate. The most important thing that a man or woman has to do is to satisfy the senses of the transcendent Lord. Of course, it has to be continued without interruption. Ahoitiki apatiyata. No impediment. No impediment. No interruption. And you go on and go on and go on and go on. And don't expect the payback. So our real occupation is to reestablish our lost relationship with God, and our lost relationship is to be the servant of a servant of a servant of Krishna. And keep doing that. As long as we do that, we will be happy. And as long as we don't, we will think we are happy, but we'll never really be happy. That's the bottom line. So, Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada says, is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata. And Sri Prabhupada then makes the point that the most important thing in the Mahabharata, all kinds of things happen materially. There are good people and bad people, people trying to kill other people. The Mahabharata is quite well known. We won't go to the details of that. But the conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, with Arjuna asking the questions as a disciple, is such a blessing to all of us. So, at no point should our minds tell us that, we could do this, I have this other material thing to do. No. At all times, we should, in fact, do what Raghunath Das, Goswami said to do. Shiksha. Instructions to the mind. Mana Shiksha. He wrote a book about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made all kinds of wonderful descriptions in the purport of that particular book. And speaking about that, one of the things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur warned about is duplicity. We should be honest. You won't say one thing about something to one person, and second person you say a different thing about the same thing, about the same point, or try to get it across in a different way. In other words, trying to influence people's minds, or manipulate, or play Kali Yuga politics. That won't get us anywhere. It is stressed very much so by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that book, Mana Shiksha. Raghunath Das Goswami himself was describing the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And that's what we're missing. Back in Goloka Vrindavan, it's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful the whole time. The whole time. We get beaten by the weather
and we don't have control over it. Whatever happens, today is a nice day. We're fortunate. It rains. Sometimes it snows. And sometimes the weather gets really bad that even properties get destroyed. Like in a hurricane or an earthquake. That's the weather. The weather alone. Not to mention other insects and who are trying to live. And they feed on us and they give us sickness. So how can we say we're enjoying here? This happens to a rich person and a poor person. These two examples, the weather and even the insects. A rich person suffers, gets sick. A poor person suffers, they get sick. So we can never really be happy here. So Srila Prabhupada has been so graceful to us, given us so much by his heart. And he knew that it was going to be a difficult job, because he was told, you're going to the United States, you're old. Mataji that gave him the ticket, told him, there's going to be problems. But he was determined, because the assignment itself was very important for the whole world. And it was told to him by his spiritual master, and you obey your spiritual master. So now we benefited tremendously from it, as we're reading now, even the purport. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates, the top, the main point is in the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Which means that those of us who are retired spend pretty much all your time involved in surrendering to lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and doing all the activities that are involved in that, in serving. There were nine processes, hearing, chanting, and going on until Atma Nibbana, and surrendering fully. Also, one should relinquish all other engagements. So what about those who are working? And even relating to those who are non-devotees? Well, as long as we're in the material world, we have to take care of the physical body. Our health is important, and the body being in good shape is also important. Because if we have to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have to take care of our body so we can serve. Vasyata was 2 days back in Philadelphia. Those who came and were singing and dancing, they had to have the energy to sing and to dance. You have to take care of your health for that to happen. Those of us who are a little older, we joined in, pulling the cart has weight. There's a lot of us pulling, so we may not feel it that much, but actually we are pulling something that's quite heavy. And the heaviness is actually for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath himself, who can make himself whatever weight that he wants at any time. But devotees are blissfully singing, dancing, and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one more thing, just having Lord Jagannath come out into town to give his blessing for those who see him, whether they are devotee or not. Especially the non-devotees don't even realize they're getting blessings from the Lord. So this is all wonderful. And activities like that should be continued, because Srila Prabhupada really, 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 really put in a lot of effort just to get here. And even the problems that he faced here never stopped him. He went to the intelligentsia, they didn't hear him. And he just went to Central Park and played, or Tompkins Square Park, and played. Not even a madanga, just a drum. And those that came in, there's a pastime about it, I'll say that and then end there. So, this was in India. He was going on a morning walk and it was recorded, and that's how I heard about it. And so he was talking about some of the difficulties. Sometimes some of the devotees, as he said, well, you know, I shouldn't have done some things that I did, but, you know, then he explained bringing so many people to Lord Chaitanya's mission, which means he was implying that a good many of those he initiated were not really qualified or serious enough. But for preaching purposes, he said, yes, for preaching purposes, I had to do that. Then he also explained one thing, we'll end with that. He says, Because devotees were talking to him. Some of them I could tell were Indian-bodied devotees from the accents. And then, of course, the disciples were an American also with him. So then he explained that I had to do some things that I normally wouldn't have done. But for preaching purposes, he had to do it. Then he also said that, as devotees were talking to him, especially those Indian bodies, they were trying to say, oh, but Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada, you did this, you did that, you did that. This all shows how much devotion you have and your own commitment. Shri Prabhupada says, yeah, well, that's part of it. That's not the important part of it. The important part of it is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted this to happen. None of them, I'm paraphrasing. But he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's God. He can attract anyone. But I'm not God. This is the Prabhupada. I'm not God. So I have to attract by opulence. That's why we build some of these things. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be anywhere and people will be attracted to him. Then one of the Buddhists, Indian body Buddhist says, but we heard in America that you went and played drum and people came. So then the Buddhist started, they said, oh yeah, he's making a connection there. Then they started laughing at him. Shri Prabhupada didn't really mind. He says, oh, Bhavananda, he came first and then they called him other, devotees' names. And when he started playing, he says, Bhavananda is the one that started to dance. Then it became a very funny thing. He says, the picture was taken and given to the New York Times, and they published it. So Shri Prabhupada gives so much mercy to us under a difficult set of circumstances. And we should always be grateful to him. And what Narada Muni has said, don't take the material life as the necessary thing or the most important thing. We get by because we have these physical bodies. But the most important thing is what has been said. We have to serve the lotus feet of Krishna and satisfy Krishna's senses. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'll read the translation again and then open up for comments or questions. So the translation is, the people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, it says slowly, some of them will also come to, if we give them, not disturb them what they do, but if we tell them about Krishna consciousness, just like, we have to do questions and answers, hopefully some of them will turn their minds to Krishna in the long run. They may fight you, but they've heard you, believe me. It seems that the subconscious at some point by Krishna's own mercy, it can then, at the right time, be brought out and some people would benefit from it. Hare Krishna. Yes. That's for all of us. I think that we can echo the same kind of sentiment as you talked about. And that reminds me of one pastime where Guru Kuli said in Alachua in the late 90s when I was there for a meeting. And they were giving testimony. And this particular person was born into the movement, but initially didn't take Krishna consciousness seriously. This is the male body person. The young guy at the time, he looked like in his 20s at the time he was talking about this, describing the experience. He joined the military. And he was assigned to a place where war was going on. So he was with other soldiers, group any of them, particularly, maybe he was the only devotee or somebody who knew about Krishna. He wasn't taking the practice seriously, devotion. He was not. And he said, at one time they were ambushed in the middle of a night. So in the middle of a night, they all woke up to gunshots. And some of them lost their lives. But what he said was, when they heard the gunshots, of course, everybody was jolted out of bed. But for some wonderful mercy, he remembered Krishna and shouted Krishna's name, Krishna! And when he said that in front of all, he broke down and started crying because he remembered the moment.
He said, I was in Gurukula for a while and then I joined the army. And I thought that I was just going to enjoy myself, sense gratification and all those things. But the Krishna consciousness that I learned, I did not know how far and how deeply Krishna was in my heart until that moment came when I knew that I could be facing death. And nobody knew about Krishna, but I was the only one that shouted Krishna's name. Anyway, he got to give the testimony, so he did not die that day, he was saved. But he said from that point on, he took his chanting and everything very, very, very seriously. And he never gave up. Hare Krishna. I thought I'll just tell about this story. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? So we're going to be blissfully chanting and blissfully going about life, not worrying too much about things that happen. It's just like the seasons. Since Krishna described, they come and go, difficulties. Yeah. We'll go back to the spiritual world and we'll be happy all the time in service. Any comments or questions? Vitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Prabhupada Jai Hare Krishna Glory Shri Prabhupada.